Suppose somebody cuts you off on the highway. Even that is an opportunity, instead of cursing him, to say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you."
In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks on the subject of the Lord's Prayer. And today I want to talk again about that phrase, "Thy kingdom come." We talked yesterday about how there is a passive and an active aspect to this prayer. When we say, "Thy kingdom come," we are in effect saying to the Lord, "I will receive and accept, I will welcome everything that comes into my life as from your hand." And then the active side is, "And I will offer myself for the purposes of your kingdom." I will offer myself for the purposes of your kingdom. Now, do you expect that God can fulfill that without it costing you something? It will cost you something, and I don't want to mince words on that. We have a responsibility with regard, for example, to our use of created things, money, time, position, politics we support, the papers we read. That kind of gets right down where we live, doesn't it? When I start talking about your money, then whoa. But an active self-offering of all that I am and have for the purposes of God's kingdom has got to touch my pocketbook. And if it doesn't touch my pocketbook, I would say it hasn't touched much of anything, because that is the place that we guard most jealously and fiercely. Then the next thing is our time. Is God going to make a claim on our time? Well, we are telling him that we offer our time to him when we say, "Thy kingdom come." Don't pray the prayer if you don't want God to answer it. Position. What is your position? I'm not talking primarily about whether you're a chief executive officer or a secretary or the person who cleans the lavatories. Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a son or a daughter, a sister, a brother, a child? What is our position? In what way can I pray here in this position, "Thy kingdom come"? I've got to become a servant of all, haven't I? What about the politics you support? What about the papers you read? The kingdom of God, the Bible tells us, is within you, if Christ is within you. So there are two levels, the visible and the invisible. And each act of unselfishness is a prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Well, the words are easy to say, but they are so heavy with heavenly meaning that we need to take stock of them every once in a while, review them, ask ourselves if we're praying this honestly, if we are prepared for God's answer, which will undoubtedly invade some areas in our lives that we were hoping God was not going to bother with. It's only in terms of the kingdom that we can possibly see every experience as a gateway to joy. It's been a long time since I've mentioned the title of this program, Gateway to Joy, but I chose it as sort of the kernel, the very heart of what I really try to say in my books, in my talks, and in the way I live. I really do believe that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be a gateway to joy. And that means every experience, no exceptions. Even the worst disasters, through them, God can give us His joy by revealing Himself to us as we respond to Him in faith in that thing. And the most humdrum job, if offered up as service to Jesus, becomes a gateway to joy. But if we don't know anything about the spiritual meaning of the kingdom, that invisible kingdom, which is at work all the time, like yeast in dough, or like salt, if we know nothing about the invisible kingdom, it's going to be very difficult to imagine that every experience can be a gateway to joy. It's going to be very difficult for us to even think of offering up the ordinary things for God's extraordinary transformation. I believe that the coming of the kingdom is going on all the time. There's a freshness, there's an unexpected peace and power and joy breaking out in unexpected ways. We talk about personal, individual things so much on this program, but we need to remind ourselves about the church, the body to which we belong. We pray, Thy kingdom come in our own lives. We need to pray, Thy kingdom come in the church. What are you praying for your church? Surely there isn't a church that doesn't need a fresh invasion of the Spirit of God, of reality. There isn't a church who doesn't have some areas of stagnation and boredom. Thy kingdom come, blow out the stagnation, expel the boredom. It's a dynamic prayer, not just a static one. And this church to which we belong, if we are Christians, is the nucleus of the kingdom in this world. We are the ones through whom the non-believers are going to see the life of Christ. We bear in our bodies the death of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal life. So the life of the Christian must be based on prayer and self-offering, and the life of the church must be based on prayer and self-offering, in order to distinguish between God's call and the suggestions of our own self-will. And that's a real pitfall, isn't it? Most of us have prayed for guidance about something, and then we've made a mistake. And then we're tempted to get mad at God and say, well, why didn't you guide me the right way? And the truth is that we didn't really surrender our self-will. We thought it was God's call, but we deceived ourselves. Now, the coming of the kingdom is not necessarily the triumph of the visible church. The church on earth has suffered all sorts of terrible setbacks. There's something far deeper, something far more costly, if the kingdom is going to come, and that is the reign of God in our own individual hearts, overruling our selfishness. It's not so difficult to pray for the church with a capital C and sort of remove ourselves a bit from what the answer to that prayer may entail. But when we bring it right down to where we live and to the things which touch us personally, then we know that there's going to be some painful overruling of selfishness, some painful canceling of our private plans, our ambitions, our greed, our self-promotion and esteem. It has to be a conquest of self. What happens when you thought that you were the one best qualified for the job and somebody else got the job? Or you thought that you were the one best qualified for the position in the church and somebody else got it? It wasn't fair. It wasn't just. It wasn't right. Can you pray that very day, Thy kingdom come? There has to be victory over our individualism. And God may agree with you that it wasn't right, it wasn't just, it wasn't fair, but the coming of His kingdom takes into account the injustice, the unfairness, the wrongness of all kinds of things. The work of the Holy Spirit is accomplished in and through and in spite of us individuals, us sinners. Do we really want the kingdom to come? There's the painful question. What will it cost us? We're going to have to cross over to his side, aren't we? Suppose somebody overrides your authority in the office. How does that make you feel? What's your response? Suppose somebody cuts you off on the highway. It makes you mad, doesn't it? Well, even that is an opportunity, instead of cursing him, to say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." It involves a transferring of my will over to God's, a sacrificing of myself on his altar. And when sacrifices were put on an altar, what happened to them? Well, they turned to ashes, didn't they? Loss, nothingness. But that offering which seemed an end in itself in Old Testament times is the beginning for each of us. We come to the cross, we are crucified, yet not I, but Christ lives. And we become cooperators with him in the work of the kingdom. As St. Francis of Assisi prayed, "Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.